Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. And this is World Verdejo Day, and this is my second podcast all about the wines from the northern Spanish region, wine-making region of Rueda. I want to talk a little bit about, first, who are you going to be hearing from today? Good question. That's really where I need to start. So in part two, it's going to be the CEO of Bodega Pandora, Celia Garcia. She's in charge of all the commercial exporting, both on a national and a global level. Great thing about this winery, we talk about it, and I didn't realize this, it's new. And this has been a hell of a time if you want to start a new business during COVID. You're really going to enjoy the interview with her. Celia has so much energy. Your eyes just light up talking about the wines, about the grape, about the winemaker, and just the struggles and successes that go in when you start a business like this, especially during this time. The second interview you'll get is with Santiago Mora, the general director for the Dio Rueda, and he's had the job since 2014. So he's been at it for quite a while. He's seen the growth of that grape, of that region, and we met him a couple of years ago. I was part of a tour of Rueda, and just a really nice man, a very knowledgeable man. And I want to talk for a second about why I am doing these podcasts and why I've done a lot of work with the Dio in the past. I'm a firm believer on this podcast that I will only talk about wines, or I'll really only review wines that I like. I'm not going to spend time saying, hey, I tried this wine, it is rubbish. Part of the reason is that it's rubbish for me, but you might like it. Every tastes are different. And sometimes emotion, where we are, where we drink the wine, what we the food we have it with, it can play a part in our overall grading of a wine. And what I would never want to do is to deny someone where I try wine, I don't like it, and maybe it will dissuade someone listening to me, someone who's new into wine, who's like, you know, take my advice. And, you know, I'm not saying anyone should take it. But the point is that I want everyone the opportunity to try every wine. So here's what happens to me. I will be given product, not all the time, not as much as some of the really famous wine writers, but every now and then wineries will send me some of their wares. And I have a rule. If I like the wine, I'm going to review it. If I don't like the wine, I'm not going to review it. I'm not going to say anything about it. I'm just going to stay silent. And part of it is that there's a lot of hands that went into making that wine. And maybe it's a guilt factor. I don't know, but I just don't want to trash a wine. Now, that's not to say I won't be openly critical of certain products out there. And usually it's nothing that gets mass produced. Mass produced wine is very, very important. We all drink it. It's important. It's important for the economy. And it's also just, you know, it's a way for new people to get into wine. And also, let's face it, not every night were we drinking some $35 artisanal family run small plot winery. No, on some nights, I'm just going to reach for my favorite glass of Valpolicella that and they make thousands and thousands and thousands of cases of. What I do have a problem with is when wine doesn't taste like the grape. You know, when you try just it feels more like Kool-Aid. It feels more like red alcohol, but it doesn't taste like the specific grape that's on the bottle. I also don't like wines that have too much chemicals and especially too much sugar. It's why I've specifically said someone like Meiomi. It's very popular. I get why it's really popular. And I'm not going to judge anyone who drinks it. There's too much sugar in it for me. So I sort of push people away from that wine and maybe try to recommend other ones, but it's rare. And I bring all this up because I do work for the Dio Rueda. This is a group that I have now done work with a couple of years. I do get paid for it. It's not a crazy amount of money, but what I want to say is that the only reason I'm doing this, it's not for the money. It's because I love these wines and I want to get the names of these wines, of these producers out to the general public. Because as I talked about in the first one, I like options. I like choice. I like if I can help give you other choices. So if you want to try a different alternative from Chardonnay, Riesling, Pinot Gris, Pinot Grigio, whatever, this is a great area for you to explore. And also, as I mentioned, I think in the other podcast and this one, I buy a lot of these wines. The last time there was a Wine Align Wines of Rueda event, afterwards, you know, my favorite one wasn't even the most expensive. It was, I think, $19-$20. And this wine has the old vines and aged on lees and concrete eggs and all this work. And I was like, this is fantastic. And immediately I contacted Jessica Glover from Glow Communications. I'm like, where can I find this wine? And she got me in contact with George Brown and I bought 10 bottles. So the point is that I only endorse products that I like. and I've done a lot of work for Rueda. When I went on that initial trip, if I wasn't that excited about it, I would have said no. I said, no, I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to do these pods because I don't believe in the product. But clearly I do, because I've done a whole bunch of podcasts. I've talked to so many different really cool and interesting winemakers. And I'm a huge fan of this varietal, of the grape Verdejo, the different styles of wines that it can produce. Even I tried a fortified one the other day that was also really, really good. All right, now I've just gone on way too long. But again, the second part, Santiago Mora, the general director for Dio Rueda. The first one is Celia Garcia. Enjoy, find these wines, explore. It's fantastic. And as always, thanks so much for listening and for downloading the podcast.
The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. It is another Rueda edition of the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast as we celebrate the glory that is the Verdejo grape. And today, from Bodega Pandora, it is Celia Garcia, who is in charge of basically everything to do with the exporting of the wine all across Spain and around the world. Celia, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So before we get into your particular bodega, to Pandora, I'd love to know just a little bit about your journey. How did you first go from being introduced to this wine to now, you know, your job with the bodega?
Okay, my name is Celia. This is my idea of Bodega Pandora. My work is to try to sell the product, the wine, in Spain and abroad. Bodegas Pandora is a new winery. We established in 2019. It's a very new winery. And we start with the COVID. You can imagine it's very difficult to begin with the coronavirus. Okay, we have two different brands. One of them is Pandra and another is Ariaval. Okay, right. With Pandra, we have different varieties. It's Verdejo, organic Verdejo, Sauvignon with barrel, fermented in barrel. Okay, this is all the family of Pandra Verdejo. All of them is 100% or with Sauvignon. And the another reference is Ariaval.
So wait a minute. This, in my research, now I'm a fool. Was this your first vintage that you guys were putting out to the public?
Yes. The first vintage is 2019, and the second vintage is 2020.
Yes.
This year. And we opened the market with 2019, and we start to commercialize the wine in the last year, in March. You can imagine.
Oh, my God. So let's talk about that for a second. What have been some of the difficulties of introducing a new wine during COVID?
First, you have to introduce a new brand. This point is very difficult to introduce a new brand, a new winery, a new wine from Dio Rueda. There is a lot of wines in Dio Rueda. It's a new brand, and you have to speak about a new brand and to try to introduce. And at first, it was very, very complicated because you speak with people, with importers, with distributors, and all of them saying, okay, your quality is good, I love your wine, but in this moment, it's impossible to sell your product because it's impossible. I don't know what is the situation, and I don't know what happened in the future. And for us, it was very, very complicated. But it's true that after 1 year, now we start to introduce the wine in the national market, in the export market. Now, for example, we stayed in Switzerland, in Norway, in Denmark, in another part of the world. We stay in Canada, we stay in Puerto Rico, in Panama, in a lot of countries. State by state, we get that all the people know Bodegas Pandora.
I guess I want to talk about those two wines a little bit more, the Pandra and the Ariaval. But first, I guess one of the hardest parts for you trying to get the wine out there is Verdejo, especially the fresh young stuff. That is great by the glass. that is perfect at the cafe, that is perfect at the restaurant. But during COVID, no one's been able to go to restaurants. So the wine by the glass programs hasn't really been happening that much over the last year or so.
Yes, this is a problem that we have in this market, in the national market and in the international market. For example, in Spain, it's typical, the barras. You try a glass or the bottle and you sell out your product in the barras. And it's true that to open a bottle of white wine in a restaurant is more complicated because you had to pay for all the bottle and at the end it's better to sell the glass. Now we try to change the mind. And for example, Pandra is a wine for drinking on the table, okay? You have to take a lunch and you need to relax and you need to open a bottle. And for us, it's very important to consume the bottle, the complete bottle. But it's true, the international market is very difficult too. But we try to change the mind of the final client and not to try always to sell in supermarkets, and to try to sell in restaurants too.
Yeah, and in restaurants, especially by the glass, you can sell more of it.
Yes.
So what you talked about it a little bit earlier, Celia, but just for the audience, because some of these wines here in Toronto, in Ontario, Canada, some of these wines, your wines, we can find here in Canada. What I'm wondering if you could tell a little bit the difference between the Pandra and your Herbal.
The two wines, okay, we are looking for a different wines from Dio Rueda. We're looking not for the typical wine from Dio Rueda with the acidity. We're looking for something more complicated, okay? And then with less acidity, okay, than the Dio Rueda wines. And the nose is an explosion of tropical fruit. It's very fruity. And it's a sweet and round wine in the mouth. A lot of pineapple, passion fruit, and the difference between Pandra and Herbal is the vineyards of Pandra is more years, 25, 30 years, and Herbal less year. And the difference is to the aging in lees. In the case of Pandra, is 6 months, more or less, and Herbal 4 months. And this is the roundness of the wine you can appreciate in the mouth. And for combining this wine in a restaurant with appetizers, with ham, with Spanish omelette, with rice, is, but we try to say to make something different, not the typical, you know, wines from Dio Rueda, acidity, bitterness, something more complex.
And especially, I imagine the Pandra more complex, as you said, older vines, more time aged in lees. That's going to give the wine a little more power and a little more complexity.
Yes, this is and the bottle. Sorry, the bottle is different. The bottle of Pandra is iconic, and the label is different too. Visual is more elegant. Pandra wine is something different. You have to try the wine for appreciate.
Oh yeah, listen, as someone who's been drinking your guys' wines for the last 2 or 3 years, it's easy to do. For yourself, when you're out there selling the wine, how is the recognition level, the awareness of your region on a global market?
It's true that the Dio Rueda Appellation helps to the wineries to introduce the wines in the export department, in the international market, but it's true that no is the more knowledge grave in the world. It's true that we have to make we have to explain about what is Dio Rueda, what is Spain, what is Castilla León, and what is Dio Rueda, and we have to explain because the rest of the people know more the grapes from, for example, Galicia or another countries. But it's true that Verdejo no is very good appreciates grapes in the world. And I think for that reason, we need to make more efforts in to try to introduce this type of grape, to make a lot of promotion and to try too much to show this type of grape, the Verdejo grape.
I think the important message, and I'd love for you to talk more about it, is that the young Verdejo is a great different, like, for people who drink Pinot Grigio,
Yes.
Young Verdejo is a great alternative. And then for the Chardonnay drinkers who love Burgundy, your old vine on its lees, couple years of age, those wines are a great alternative. Like your Pandra would be a great alternative to white Burgundy.
Yes, I think that this is real. Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Yeah, and I think it's really so just important for you guys, I guess, to get the wines in the mouths of the consumer.
Yes.
And the sommelier and the restaurant manager.
And for example, not only the young red Verdejo, the fermented in barrel, I think is something that all the people need to try, because it's something different with a little gluten, you know, and it's something really, really different. And not only the young grapes, the wine with a barrel, I think it's very important that the people start to try.
So I want to hear a little bit more about you. What were you doing before you joined Bodega Pandora, Celia? What is your background before here?
I studied advertising and public relations many years ago, and I from 11-12 years ago I only worked in the world of the wineries in the export department. And travel around the world, and I'm sommelier, and because I feel like I need to know more and more about the wines, and I always try to sell a product, but a product that I trust, a product that I love, and it's in this case I feel passion for the project, for the grapes, for the winery, and for the people who work in this winery. And this is for me the most important. And I know that this is a very bad year. We are in a moment that anybody believes. But I think that this is the moment to try to promote this winery and to promote this wine. And I want to travel around the world, around Spain, and to present wines and to speak with people and to have a conversation face to face with a person and to try the wine together. You know, we need that.
Oh, we absolutely we do. I want to ask you about COVID in a moment. Did you always know you wanted to be in wine? Like, was there what was the moment when you realized, I this is the business, this is the wine for me?
It was a casualty. I come back from Brazil. I live in Brazil 1 year, and I speak with a company, with a vineyard, and I make an interview. And in this moment, I start to sell wine. In this moment, I say, okay, I didn't difference between red and white wine. I didn't know anything about the wine. But when you enter in this world and you start to try wines, different countries, it's like this world is like, wow, I love the wine. I love to work in a winery. I love to know more and more about the vineyards, the varieties, the DOs, the different wines. And it's, you know about that.
it's so cool because you're learning about history, about science, about people, about, you know, why this grape tastes like this here, but it tastes like that somewhere else. Why nighttime is important for the acidity of your wine. It is cool, and I imagine every day you learn something new, don't you?
Yes, and you listen to people who knows about wine, people who doesn't know about wine, and, you know, it's different experience, and at the end you decided, I like this wine, I like another wine, or I like this variety, and, you know, it's a world that you stay always learning all the time.
It's one thing I appreciate about the Dio Rueda. When I got first hired to do work a couple of years ago, I knew a little bit about Verdejo. And now today, like, I know so much more. And I buy, like, so much wine. Like, the last wine event I went for Rueda, I bought 10 bottles. I'm like, this is really, really good. And I'm going to put two away, and I'm not going to touch them for 5 years. And I think conversations like this are important, not because I'm against Pinot Grigio or Burgundy, but because I want people to have as many different choices and alternatives as they can get.
Different points of view, a difference, yes, but it's good. Always you can learn about that.
How has COVID been for you, for Bodega Pandora the last year or so? How are you guys all doing?
It was very hard because during the process of the harvest, for example, then the enologists, the team, they are elaborating the wines, but they are thinking about, I don't know what happened the next year. I don't know if I'm going to sell all the product or not. You know, it's a strange situation because you say, okay, the product is good. I love the quality of the wine, but I don't know what happened the next year because I don't know what is the answer of the client, the final client with the wine. I don't know if the restaurant there went to buy the wines, the supermarket there buying the wines. And in this moment, this was very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. But we are very optimistic and we've always thinking about we are going to pass the situation. I am sure that in the future we are going to serve the product. It's true that in our case, it's a new winery. For the reason we can say, okay, the next year maybe we sell less product, but we can know in this moment, okay? We can say, okay, the next year, I don't know what's the quantity, but it's the first time I can cut the quantity, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe another one is a bad situation because they have the stock or the another years, and you know it's a very difficult situation. But I think that we are going to pass this pass and this all is changed. What do you think about it?
I think the one advantage you guys have is that there is a really good quality level that's not that expensive. So if people have less money because of COVID, but they still want wine at their table, or restaurants are looking to buy a wine for their program that's not as pricey, Rueda can replace Northern Italy, Loire, Sauvignon Blanc, even some white Burgundy, that you guys at least have a product that's a couple dollars less expensive that would be good for the consumer and for the restaurant that still wants a good quality but has to spend less money.
Yeah.
Well, that's sort of my...
Yes, this is the point.
Is it been a little bit harder because you are new? Sometimes places, they're nervous to try something new. They just want the producers they've heard of for the last decade. I imagine that is something that you've had to work on.
Yes, but to be a new winery is an advantage too, because you are a new product, you are something new in the market. There is a lot of wines from Dio Rueda, but you are new and you stay with a lot of passion, with a lot of, I don't know, for that reason, a lot of importers, they can speak with us because, wow, you're a new winery in this moment of the life. You are very, you are crazy, no? But it's true that at the end, little step by step, we get to introduce the wines and the product, the people love the product. And for us, this is important. We know that not maybe in this year, but maybe the next year, we can introduce the winery, the wine in another, with another importers. It's a very hard work, but we know what is our price, and for us it's very important because it's a medium level price.
Yeah. What can you tell us, a winemaker, Rosa Zaza? I think I got that name right. I know she's been around and she's worked in Rueda and Cava and Toro and things like that. I didn't know anything that the listener should know about your winemaker.
I met Rosa 1 year ago. One of the reasons that I stay working in this winery is for her, because I feel a feeling with her at the first moment. She has more than 15 years managing wines and vineyards in Dio Rueda. And another appellations. She works in Rueda, Toro, Costa del Segre, Cava, and she has also participated as a panel in numerous contests and competitions, and many prestigious publications and awards endorse her wines. She is a passion woman for the vineyard, from the grapes, and She's one of the mainstays of our drinks. She's one of the main person who stay in this winery. And the wine is her creation. It's her wine.
Yeah, that's great. Anna, it's good to have someone, obviously, who's been doing it for so long because they know the soil and the weather and the grape. Yes. And they, yes. Yeah, consistency yes. is good.
Yes, it's very important. And I don't know, you stay with her, you feel the passion for the wine and for the, because we are always trying the wines, the different, the barrel fermented, the ecological. We try the wine in the vats. I learn all the days with her. It's good to work with her. And no, it's only a technical person. He can explain very good the wine for all type of people. And this is very important.
Well, Celia, the one thing that stands out the most also is just your passion for it. You talked about the passion for the winemaker, but what I love is your passion, not just for the bodega, not just for Bodega Pandora, but just for wine in general and about learning. And though this is a podcast, everyone listening, Celia's face always is lighting up talking about this wine and about your own journey. And I think it's really cool. And also just what an interesting journey that for you and for this winery, it's just sort of beginning, isn't it?
Yes. And I like to invite you to the winery when you come back to Spain, and you can visit the winery and the vineyards, and you can see the dream of Pandora.
They're cool bottles, by the way, as well. And it's a gorgeous country. It's where Rueda is. It's not far from Madrid. It is a great place for wine tourism because there's lots of cool little towns, and then there's the vineyards and 100-year-old vines and everything in between. Yes. It's a pretty wonderful area that people should check out.
Yes, it's a good. You can take the train to Madrid to Valladolid, and then you can visit all the area. And then you can go to Valladolid to take a tapas and to enjoy with a visit to the city.
It is, that city's gorgeous. I'll leave you with this question, Celia. I ask it of almost all my guests, and especially for you, because again, you're young and this is new. Where do you see Pandora, or where would you like Bodega Pandora to be 5-10 years from now in terms of where it's at, where markets are drinking your wine? Where would you like to be in 5-10 years?
We are a new winery, and in 5-10 years, I like people in the world know the brand Pandora. That if they see the logo of Pandora, they say, okay, I want this wine. Or when you are going to a restaurant and you have to order for a white wine, you say, okay, I want this one, Bodegas Pandora, Panda. I want Pandora. I want to be the new benchmark of Dio Rueda. I know that this is very difficult, but I know it's an idea, no? It's a dream.
It's a good dream to have. Celia, I really appreciate you joining the podcast today.
Thank you. Sorry for my English. I'm sorry because sometimes cut the conversation.
Celia, your English is a million times better than my Spanish. So you were fantastic. Everyone out there listening, go and find the Pandora Verdejo or the Arabel Verdejo in Ontario, in Quebec. Celia from Bodega Pandora, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. Hey, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Rueda version of the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. And today we're joined by the general director of the DO Rueda, Santiago Mora. Santiago, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast.
Hello, Matthew. Thank you so much for inviting me to stay here with you from the distance.
Yeah. Well, now, I was wondering, you've been part of DO Rueda since 2014, correct?
That's right. 7 years now.
7 years. So I'm curious, what are the big differences between when you started in 2014 and today? And I'll start with in terms of recognition of the grape, Verdejo, and the region. What's the differences between then and now?
Well, actually, you know, Rueda has been increasing production, increasing sales, increasing export figures as well. And overall, we have received investment from wineries, from the rest of the country, from Rioja, from Ribera del Duero, from Catalonia, from Andalusia. You know, everyone wanted to be here. Every winery wanted to have a Verdejo from Rueda in their portfolio. So yes, everything has changed because all this investment has meant, of course, more production, more surface cultivated, dedicated to the vineyard, and also more and more popularity here in Spain, of course, but also in the foreign countries.
Actually, you know what? Let's jump around a little bit in terms of foreign countries. I read an interview you did back in June of 2020, where you said that in the case of Russia, we were surprised by the good reception that Rueda wines are having and the speed with which we are growing. What is it about Russia where they seem to really enjoy your wine?
Well, it's happening in the Eastern European countries, but especially in Russia. I mean, we have tripled our exports there in the last 4 years. We are now, for us, is our four more important country when we talk about exports. It's like, you know, we can say now that Rueda and Verdejo from Rueda is in fashion now, there in Russia, because of different factors, you know, because of the generation of a very important, more and more important medium class in Russia. Also, the stability, when we talk about the stability, especially when we talk about currencies and, you know, and the pairing with the rublo and the euro has not changed so much in the last years. So it's a stability when we talk about the cost of the wine. And then, you know, you can see there that they are changing their habits, their contacts, because they were more used to distill vodka, very hard alcohol drinks. And now the wine is increasing popularity, the red wine, of course, but the white wine also, because they were used also to consume white wine because of the Georgia wines, sweet, but also white, and also used to be served cold. And they appreciate very much dry white wines, but it's like it's becoming more and more popular, especially in women and in young people, but also in males and more or older people.
I could definitely see it with younger people, but wow, what a contrast to go from vodka or some of the really sweet wines that were popular in Russia years ago to yours, which is, you know, more aromatic, more dry, and certainly not as hard as vodka.
Well, yeah, I think because you know, they look at the European countries, at the occidental countries, and they try to, you know, to copy some classic cultural things about the wine. They are approaching wines in general. They, you know, they give so much value to the wine industry, especially from these countries, from the traditional countries such as Spain. And then, you know, new consumers are, you know, it's like the still level of alcohol, the vodka, it's like more difficult to be drunk. And they are appreciating so much low volume of alcohol drinks, such as wine. No, I mean, in this sense, the white wine, the Rueda and the Verdejo from Rueda fulfill this kind of taste. I mean, dry, but very flavor, with a strong personality, easy to drink. It's like the way to approach to a new, you know, a new trend that they are experimenting there in Russia in general.
Let's go back a little bit. I was talking before Santiago about you joined in 2014. And I'm wondering about some of the changes, and I'm speaking specifically about classifications of Rueda, where you can now have a Gran Vino, you can also have ones that indicate the specific municipality of where the grapes come from. I was wondering if you could talk, Santiago, just a little bit about some of the classifications we're now seeing in the wines of Verdejo. Well, the wines of Rueda.
That's a very good question. Verdejo and Rueda. You know, one of the problems we noted at the beginning in 2014, when I joined this project in Rueda, was that Verdejo is autochthonous. Is the grape that has been here in the last 1,000 years. But at the same time, the popularity of Verdejo from Rueda has meant that some other regions, not only in Spain, but all over the world, has been planting Verdejo, that is the variety, the white variety, the grape. This created some kind of misunderstanding when we talk about the general public, the general consumer, because they ask for a Verdejo, accepting that they were to be served a Rueda, but it doesn't mean, it didn't mean actually that it has to be a Rueda. It could be another Verdejo from another region. That was one of the main problems at the beginning, no? I mean, because we wanted people to ask the things that they wanted to be served. I mean, we wanted them to ask a Rueda when they wanted a Rueda, not a Verdejo. Because if not, maybe you are going to get disappointed because you are not getting what you were expecting for. That was the first thing. From this point, we have been, you know, in Spain, especially that white wine, quality white wine, has been increasing popularity, has been increasing market share. 7 years ago, the white wine meant in Spain approximately 20% of the total consumption of wine. Total 20%. Now, 2020, we have closed the year with the 30% of the market share of the total wine sector in Spain. Rueda has been increasing market share even more than the increase of the consumption of white wine. And right now, Rueda means approximately 40% of the total consumption of white wine in Spain has been increasing. Slightly, but has been increasing more than the average, and the market share of Rueda is now more than 7 years ago. What happens now? People in Spain, consumers in Spain, white Verdejo consumers in Spain, Rueda consumers in Spain, are changing, are paying more and more attention for new elaborations made with Verdejo. They like Verdejo, they like Rueda. They are sure that what they ask for a Verdejo from Rueda, they are going to be right because they like it, but they are trying to obtain different flavors, different feedback from more added value wines from Rueda. I mean, they appreciate more and more when we talk about aging Ruedas, white wine from the 2010 vintage, for example. They are trying to taste white wines from Rueda made with the concrete eggs or the food rest with different sizes, with different oaks from different countries. I mean, they are asking for new elaborations. That's the main reasons why we can explain that our wineries have been in the last year incorporating new factors and new investments in this way, the concrete eggs, the food rest, the oaks from different parts of, from Austria, from France, from USA. I mean, this that 25 years ago, Belondrade invented because he was the great visionary 25 years ago, Didier Belondrade, now it's now another reality. I mean, now we can see that more and more wineries are betting on this. More and more wineries are betting on give a response to these new trends from the consumers. And that's the reason why finally, 2 years ago, 1.5 years ago, the Consejo Regulador incorporated a new label to the portfolio of Rueda. That's the Gran Vino de Rueda. What the Consejo wanted from this wine, they wanted to create the best raw material, the best grapes, to obtain the best wines. When we talk about wine in general, but especially when we talk about white wine, the raw material, the verdejo, the grape, is the key factor in order to, you know, to give this differentiation to the final product. So this Gran Vino de Rueda was created taking into account that has to be obtained totally from vineyards minimum of 30 years old,
yep,
with a maximum yield of 6,500 kilograms per hectare, and also the transformation rate between grape kilograms of grape to liters of wine, maximum of 65% of transformation.
You know what's interesting here, Santiago? Rueda and Burgundy, obviously very, very different. But Burgundy has the reputation because they've been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. And part of it is, it's like they've got their levels, their Village, Premier Grand Cru. They also, every region is designated. You know that Chablis tastes different than Montrachet. And it seems like this is what you guys have been doing and want to continue to do. So that it's like, no. This Verdejo grape comes from this part of Rueda because this part of Rueda has a flavor that's different from somewhere else. And now with that other classification, with the higher classification, the Gran Vino, then it also means the consumer knows this is a higher quality of wine, older vines, just the better yields, which is no different than if I pick up a bottle of Premier Cru Burgundy, I know, okay, this is at least made at a higher quality than the Village. And it seems like what you guys are doing, it's not that you want to be Burgundy, but taking some of those best qualities so that the consumer understands what they're drinking.
That's right. That's the key question, Matthew. I mean, we have to understand that here we have a jewel. A jewel to be sharpened, to be defined, and to be worked with. That is the Verdejo. The Verdejo grape is a unique grape that we are very lucky that was originated here in Rueda 1,000 years ago. And this grape is, you know, is open, totally open to work in different ways. But at the same time, we are talking about one of the most old, the oldest region in Spain, Rueda, that is the oldest in Castilla y León and has the oldest vineyards in the area. I mean, we have some prephylloxeric vineyards, but we have the best, of course, vineyards located in the traditional areas already planted 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 150 years ago. And that's another raw material, another soils, another climate, another result, another raw material, and another elaboration. And very, very characteristic. I mean, when we talk about wines from the area of Nieva and Segovia, we have different conditions because of the soils,
right,
because of the temperature, because of the altitude, and we are talking about sandy soils with a very profile, very well-defined, totally different to this other area of La Seca and Rueda that we are talking about, Cascajo, another altitude, 750 meters. Totally different because of the grape, because of the soil, or because of the altitude, and also a little bit because of the temperature, because altitude, temperature, you know, it's also comes together.
Yeah.
And finally, you know, this is the first step in order to give to our elaborators, to the winemakers, more and more, you know, ways to try to explore your personality, to define your personality to different personality in order to be different in the same area, because we are talking about, you know, 74 different municipalities, 3 different provinces, different climates, different soils, different altitudes, and of course different results and different wines, all from Rueda, that's the origin, all from Verdejo, from Rueda, that is our grape, is the autochthonous grape, the indigenous grape, but at the same time, different because the result is a very remarkable and own personality result wines.
And I guess that's a lot of what you guys have to do. The Seca wine, it could be different than the Segovia wine because, as you said, temperature, soil, altitudes, all those sorts of things. So that's obviously an important thing for you guys to be communicating. And it's part reason why we're doing this podcast is for the listeners out there to realize that it's not a monolithic area. It's not just one giant area and it's all the same, much like in other great wine regions. Every appellation has differences to it. Santiago, you took us on a tour 2 years ago, back in 2019. It was gorgeous. And I'm just wondering, how are things now with COVID? Because when we were there, it was beautiful. Everyone's outside. It was, you know, it was just this great place to visit. And I'm just wondering, how are you guys doing?
Well, actually, it has been very hard for all of us. I think not only for Red, I think for all the world and all the countries, and it's been a very hard crisis. At the beginning of the crisis, you know, in Spain, we account for the 40% of the market share when we talk about the white wine. But at the same time, we are very specialized in the on-premise channel, you know. The bar and the restaurants are, you know, mean for Rueda mean approximately 65% of the total market, our total sales. So at the beginning, with the coronavirus, the arrival with the coronavirus, at the beginning it was like horrible. It's like all our channels start to be closed in the coming months, and it's going to be a disaster, you know. Fortunately for us, you know, people even at home has been continuous consuming white wine and Verdejos from Rueda also, and we have closed the 2020 year only with a decrease by 10% compared to the previous year. So we know
we have
because people wanted Rueda, and you know, the supermarkets and the online channels and so on has been pressing with Rueda wines, because probably we had not a very strong presence there. But when the people, the consumers want the product, the supermarkets and the retails need to have a Rueda in their portfolio. And finally, it was impossible, you know, to assume all these decrease of the product, almost disappear the on-premise sector. But with the supermarkets in one hand, and in another hand, the export markets, we have also increased our sales abroad. Not so important, but when all the market of wine, the world market is increasing, and you have an increase of 3.5%. For us, it's very important, you know, because we have a long way, a long path to run in the export markets. We are very happy with this first 2020 year, and very open and very positive in this new 2021 year. Okay, but well, now from March, we have the figures of the DO Rueda appellation has been increasing dramatically. We closed April with the best figures on a year-to-year basis in our history. And in May, this increase is even more, you know. Now it's like we are appreciating some kind of boom again.
That's great.
People is like crazy. I mean, it's like everybody all over the world, but especially in Spain, that we are very used to be at in the terrazas, in the restaurants, in the bars, especially in summer. And it's like we were not able to celebrate anything at all in the last year and a half, and now everybody want to be celebrated everything at all. It's like let's celebrate wherever thing we want to celebrate it. It's like even, you know, any step in your professional career or the birthday or your mother, the Mother's Day, whatever reason is good in order to go out and serve a rueda, a verdejo from rueda with your friends, family, and so on. And so we are now very, very, you know, optimistic with the coming weeks and months and the rest of the year, world, especially in Europe, in the USA, in Canada, is the same. I mean, we are just changing our minds, and we can see the near future totally different than 6 or 7 months ago.
That's great. That's great to hear. Just because, you know, when the sales are going low and restaurants are closed, it makes it harder for everyone, the wine, you know, starting with the wineries. Is there one country, Santiago, is there one country you'd like to see more of your product in? Is there one sort of country out there like, this is the one we gotta try to conquer?
Canada.
Well, I bought 2 cases in the last little while, so, I'm doing my part.
Well, before we talk about Russia, that we, you know, that different factors had to be, you know, have to come together in order to be able to conquer a market, you know, and Russia, you know, probably is a very good example of these factors that come together and everything succeed in order to let our exports increase dramatically. And I think Canada is one of the countries, right now, the country in which we, like Rueda Appellation, are betting on more. Because it's a country that appreciates very much the white wine, of course, tradition and the Pinot Grigio, or even the Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, has a very strong presence. And we can see, we can appreciate that our wines are gaining more and more recognition, more presence in the press, in the specialized prescription. The wine specialists are talking more and more about the possibilities of our Verdejo from Rueda wines, because of the suitable with the trends and the, you know, and the likes of Canadian people. And well, I think Wine Aligned talk about Rueda Verdejo, the Verdejos from Rueda, extremely well also in the last press note. I mean, we are thinking, we are seeing that people there appreciate the wine, appreciate the quality of the wine, the personality of the wine, fulfill very well, match very well these likes, these trends. And well, more and more wineries are paying attention to Canada, because we are maintaining our, in the last year, the export figures are similar, but at the same time, we have changed, and 3 years ago there were 18 wineries selling Rueda wines there in the Canada market, and now it's the double. We are talking about 35. More and more wineries are gaining presence, are paying attention to the Canadian market because of, you know, of all of this that we are seeing. I mean, it's something that is different factors that are coming together, and we have we are very optimistic about Canada.
Well, I think it's a combination of A, the product that you guys make, the variety of different styles, but then it's just about education. Like, it's literally just about learn about the wines, try it, and now you've something else for the drinker. They just have another option. Santiago, before I let you go, I forgot to ask you this, and I was curious, and just going back to COVID, how different was your role and Dio Rueda, like just your organization, in terms of how you would help with the wineries? What role did you guys play during COVID that was different, say, whatever your responsibilities were in 2019?
Well, we had to change. I remember March 2020, everything changed. We had to, at the beginning, to, you know, teleworking for an important part of the team, especially those dedicated to the promotion department, was the usual. We had to change the quality. The technical and quality control team also had to change the ways of, you know, of working. But, you know, it was like a hurry because we had to change, for example, all the promotional plans in all the countries we were working on. We had to change and to adapt to the new circumstances. The 12 countries we are working on and promoting our wines, we had to redefine everything, all the strategy, all the actions, all the activities to be carried on, everything changed. And on the other hand, the technical part of the team, we have seven people working in the technical services. We have to, you know, to adapt, of course, everything, and especially in the harvest, because, you know, harvest camp and the wineries and the bean growers is like the most complicated part of the year, and you have to be sure that everything is under control and the COVID is not going to interrupt the harvest and probably close the winery. You cannot imagine that a winery with suddenly a case of COVID in the harvesting should be closed, because if so, probably it cannot open again. So we had to focus on the harvesting and try to assure to get the most confidence possible in order to, you know, PCRs to everyone working in the harvesting, control, no interaction with the teams. We had to, you know, schedule with the regional government. I remember we had to find rules, very severe rules, in order to avoid any kind of problems when harvesting the grape in the harvesting time. Because we had to, you know, the most important part of the year, the harvesting for the wineries, we couldn't assume any kind of problem if a winery should be closed because of a COVID case. So right. For us, was the most difficult time of all the year. Independently of the rest of the year, that we had to change everything as well. I mean, but especially in the harvesting, it was like crazy because very hard times in order to, you know, to be sure that we adopted the different measures in order to avoid to try to fight COVID and to let the wineries and the bean growers work in the harvesting without any kind of problem. And we got it. So, yeah. Matthew, we have to be happy. We have to be happy because of that.
Oh, absolutely. That's kind of how I want to wrap this up. I loved earlier when you were saying about your numbers in the last couple months and sales, and you have doubled the wineries selling wine in Canada. And I think it's a testament to the work that you guys have done, and all the wineries and the winemakers and the styles and just the new ways you're communicating what's in the bottle. And Santiago, I just wanted to say thank you so much for joining the podcast, and congrats on 7 years, General Director with Dio Rueda. And I hope we talk soon, and I hope I can come back and visit sometime very soon as well.
It will be very, very good for all of us to have you here and to visit again our area and try to see by yourself the change of the operation even in 3 years. It's important also.
Yeah,
it's important. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure for me. And just we hope that we are going to meet maybe in Canada or maybe in Rueda again in the coming months or years. Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Santiago. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You've been listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. This is part of the Rueda series that we've been doing. It's been great. And remember, you can find me wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.